So we left off yesterday trying to find some kulos within the Yisra of Avzara. So one possible kula we came up with was the approach of Yerushalmi, take him in Iran, followed by the name of the Ramah, about the distinction between whether the food was on the fire when Shabbos started or whether it wasn't. So we said that's a potentially viable option. The only thing is we had two serious reservations with this kula. Number one, the Ran seemed to be a Das Yochid. Most of the Rishonim didn't quote this idea. The Bavli doesn't seem to accept this kula of the Yerushalmi. And number two, that the Beis Yosef and their Ramah themselves put the brakes on this kula by saying that it only applies when the food hasn't cooled down. If the food's cooled down, then everything is over. And we had a machlekes, what that means. So we had a Magen Avraham and a Gra, different versions of what that condition meant. So if you put together a couple of kulas, then you potentially have a possibility to be Mekel and Deshaila. If you follow the Ran with the Rishonim, combine with the Gra's, combined with the Gra's version, so then you can begin to discuss leaving food in the fire on Friday night and taking it off later Friday night and then putting it back on Shabbos morning, even though it cooled down, provided that it's a solid food. But again, we had some hesitations with this kula. Even the Ramah himself, who quotes the minhag, the Ramah himself recommends tov l'hachma. One's not really supposed to follow this, at least according to many poskim, one shouldn't really be following this. So the question is, do we have anything else? Do we have any other potential kula within the realm of Achzara? So this part of the sugya begins in the 16th of the Ma'ar Mekomos. On the last page, so the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Yud Ches Siv Ches, the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the 16th of the Ma'amar, "The idea of a kal shows basha kol tzarcho. If a person wants to take cold food, provided that it was fully cooked." Now again, that should be obvious. Of course, it has to be fully cooked. If it's not fully cooked, then you have a bishul issue. So you have a food that was fully cooked. Agabi mecham shala eish, and you want to put it not onto the fire directly, you want to put it on top of a pot that's already sitting on the fire. Yeshomim shedino kimanicho kenegan hamedura, v'choldova shemutla nicho kenegan hamedura b'mokam shiatz letters b'kon shiyavish mutla nicho agabi mecham shal gabi eish. So there were some rishonim who say that one is permitted to take a piece of food, say a piece of kugel, a piece of chicken or something, and rather than put it onto the fire, put it on top of something that in turn is on top of the fire. That's what we usually call in halacha, kedera gabi kedera. I mean, the first kedera, the first pot is already there. It's been sitting there ready since Friday, presumably. I'm going to take food and put it on top of that kedera rather than put it on top of the fire itself. So there are some who say that's mutter. Where in the world did this kula come from? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rishonim who compare this to Manichu Kineged HaMedura. Manichu Kineged HaMedura is a sugya in Masechta Shabbos where the Gemara speaks about the permissibility of putting something near a fireplace on Shabbos. So the Gemara says that you could take food, as long as, provided that it was fully cooked, and even though it's cold now, hasn't been in the fire for quite some time, and you want to put it not onto the fire itself, but kineged hamedura, next to the fire, the side of the fireplace. So the Gemara says that that's okay. Why is that all right? Why isn't that an issue of Achzara? So the Rishonim explained, because all the reasons of Achzara don't really apply. Since it's not normal to cook that way, you don't cook on the side of the fireplace. If you want to cook, stick it into the fire. So but the fact that it's kineged hamedura, it's on the side of the fire, so that in and of itself is not derech bishul, so that's not going to be a problem. And number two, the other reason of Achzara, shem yechata b'gichol, unless the person comes to adjust the coals, it's such a hecker, it's such a built-in recognition, it's so obvious that this is an absurd way of cooking, an absurd way of heating things up, a person's probably not going to end up violating the isser of shem yechata b'gichol. So there is such a precedent for this idea of cooking in a somewhat of an abnormal manner, or not really cooking, it's incorrect term, reheating in an abnormal fashion. By reheating in an abnormal fashion, so you've, in a sense, circumvented the two issues, the two reasons which prohibited Achzara in the first place. So there's some Yisharim who wanted to equate what's called the Kedera Agabi Kedera, to put something on top of a previous existing pot on the fire. That's a very abnormal way of cooking. If you wanted to cook a chicken, you take a chicken, you put it onto the fire, you put it into the oven, you put it onto the pot of soup, whatever it is. You would inside the pot of soup, you wouldn't take a pot and then take upside another pot and stick one pot on top of another pot, a balancing act in order to cook your food. That's not derech bishul. Since that's not derech bishul, maybe the whole issue of Mexican mevashel doesn't apply. And one could argue, since it's so abnormal, that serves as a heker, just as we've seen gufa ketuma becomes permissible because you're probably not going to be led to be yichata b'gicholim because it's so unlike, because it's so abnormal. So to kedera gabi kedera meets those criteria as well. So the fact that there's a heter of manichal keneged hamadura, that's in the Ferish Gemara. The fact that we're going to extrapolate from there to a case of kedera gabe kedera, that's a yesh omim in the Shulchan Aruch. The problem is, whenever you have a yesh omim in the Shulchan Aruch one way, that always indicates that there are yesh omim forget. Some say this way, some say the other way. So the Shulchan Aruch, in the end of the second line, the 16th Imam HaKalma, says, v'yesh omrim, t'havi kemaniach agabe kira l'chadchila, v'yasa. And there are those who say, no, that putting it on top of a pot, on top of a, top of the fire, is not sufficient of a heker, is not sufficient of an eino derech bishul, and therefore the issur of achzorah would apply. V'afilu im nizbashe kol tzarcho, even though it's fully cooked, so there's not an issue of bishul. V'afilu mitztamim v'ralo, even if it's a type of a food that's getting worse, the more it's being exposed to the flame, the worse it is. So it has everything going for it. It's nizbashe kol tzarcho, it's mitztamim v'ralo, it's still osur, because mitztamim v'ralo is not a matter for achzorah. The only time we find them in stomach virala, when something is sitting on the fire for so long, is getting worse, so we're not concerned, that's only vis-a-vis shahiyah that we spoke about already a couple of weeks ago. When it comes to the issue of shahiyah, so even according to the Rabbanan who hold that shahiyah is also even after Maicha Mendrisoi, and even after Nisbashik Ol Tzorcho, that's only when it's mitzvah v'yofalo. But if it's ready mitzvah v'ralo, ad kedekach, so then to leave food on the fire from before Shabbos, mitzvah v'ralo, is heter gomi v'udat ablach. So it comes to Shulchan Aruch, and quick to point out, it's quotes from the Rishon from Taisus, that even though mitzvah v'ralo is a mitigating factor vis-a-vis Shehiyah, considering Hachzorah, it is not. Hachzorah is also across the board. We've already seen this theme, we started off the sugya of Hachzorah, that the standards for Hachzorah are significantly more strict than they are for Shehiyah. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch and the Yesh Omrim, the second opinion in Shulchan Aruch that denies this heter of Kedera Gabi Kedera, so it comes to Shulchan Aruch and says that we treat it like regular Hachzorah. And as such, nothing's going to help. This Bashik Otzorchos, not going to help. Mitzvah Viral, nothing's going to help. So then the Shulchan Aruch continues, V'afilim nosta sham lishma chomo, that even if the only reason why you're putting it on the fire is just to keep it a little bit warm, then everything is asur. So according to the first day in Shulchan Aruch, in the 16th in Imam HaKamos, according to the first day in Shulchan Aruch, so Kedera, Gabi Kedera, is a freebie. It's a heter gomer. It's considered to be like the halakha equivalent of keneged hamadura, like putting things not on the fire, but rather next to the fire, which the Gemara says is mutter. So Kedera, Gabi Kedera, is heter gomer. According to the second day in Shulchan Aruch, Kedera, Gabi Kedera, is meaningless. Kedera, Gabi Kedera, is subject to the regular rules and the regulations of Achzara. It's also whether it's fully cooked, and it's also whether it's been time for ralo, it's also whether you're just doing it to keep the heat in, everything's also. How do we pass in the loch on these 2 days in Shulchan Aruch? So says the Shulchan Aruch, V'risha nira ikar. Says the Shulchan Aruch, he thinks that we can be makel. Told you yesterday it's going to be a kula. So Shulchan Aruch told you a kula. See, by the time we're done with this kula, as they say, with such kulas, who needs chumras? At least at this point, with this sofa of the Shulchan Aruch, this sounds like the beginning of a kula. There's going to be some degree of a kula to this. So according to the first opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, which is that the Shulchan Aruch himself is Machri Paskins, that Kedera Gabi Kedera seems to circumvent all of the Isurim of Hachzor. So everything is mutter, as long as you're doing it Kedera Gabi Kedera. Again, the reason being, presumably that the regular reasons to prohibit Hachzor don't apply. Umikamachom. If it's a tafshil which has rotev in it, if it has a liquid in it, and it's mitzvah v'yafalo, then it's going to be asur l'chol hadeyos. The truth is that if it has liquid in it, it's going to be a problem no matter what if it cools down. Again, this is part of the bishul scenario that we spoke about. So l'maisa, just be careful, the Shulchan Aruch says, that even according to the Mekilim, don't get involved with liquids. Anything we're talking about today is not going to help for soups, for chickens with significant gravy to them, but it's going to help for dry foods. If we pass it in halacha like the Shulchan Aruch, that Verisha near Ika, that Kedera Gabi Kedera is a viable kula. However, we have a big problem with this Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, and that's another comment that the Shulchan Aruch makes in the 17th of the Maamar Kamos, back to Simon Reish and Gimel. So the Shulchan Aruch was discussing in Reish and Gimel the following scenario. Hamashkin Baboker, Rosh Agdicha Tavshilo. If a person wakes up in the morning, Shabbos morning, and he sees that his food is starting to burn. We spoke a lot about this, about putting water into the chillit last week. So this was the whole problem. Our wives are not the only ones who come for this crisis mode in Shabbos morning. The chillit's too hot. So what do? So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't even discuss the option of taking hot water. That's a different angle that we spoke about last week. So Shulchan Aruch says, "Mashkim v'barkim v'rosh ekdicha tavshilo, v'yorei pen yakdiach yoser." And he's afraid He's afraid that it's going to get even hotter. So he wants to do something to, in effect, minimize the effect of heat. So Yochel Hasir Laniach Kederi Yishana Rekonis Lo Api Akira V'az Yosim Akedera She'atavsho B'socha Agabi Akedera Rekonis V'yizor Shlo Yosim Kedera Roso Agabi Karka V'shetia Rosachas. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says that you have to be careful for the following. You have to be, if you want to, in a sense, adjust the flame, obviously you're not going to literally adjust the flame on Shabbos, but what you can do is you can put something there to separate between the flame and the saw and the cholent, which will obviously minimize the effect of the heat. So what do? You take a kedera reikonis, you take an empty pan or something, and you put the empty pan underneath your kedera, underneath where your cholent is, and now it's not going to be so hot. So says the Shulchan Aruch, you have to be very, very careful when you do this, because you have a cholent pot sitting on a fire, and you're going to take the cholent pot off in order to slide this kedera reikonis underneath. So says the Shulchan Aruch, your initial reaction would be, I'll take the cholent pot off, put it down on the floor, take a kedera reikonis, put it underneath, and then put the cholent pot back on again. So says the Shulchan Aruch, that's going to be a problem. That's going to be an issur of achzara. So you're trying to solve a problem of your cholent burning. You're going to solve the problem legamri. It's not going to burn because it's not going to get hot anymore. You're not going to be able to put it back on. So you have to be careful, says the Shulchan Aruch, when you slide this kedera reikonis underneath, make sure v'yizor shlo yosk derosa gabi karka. Make sure not to put that cholent pot down. So you better get another person to help you with this acrobats over here. Make sure that you're sliding an empty pan underneath and you're holding on to your cholent pot for good luck as well. Then the Ramah writes, so says the Ramah, we're not so worried about this because we're lenient on the Shittas Aran. If you remember back to the Ran Yerushalmi from yesterday, that the Ramah was the one who says that the minhag is to be mekil, that those additional conditions of the other night lachta don't apply if the food was on the fire when Shabbos started. Obviously, we're talking about cholent was sitting on the fire when Shabbos started. So the Ramah says, we Ashkenazim are not so careful about these playing acrobatics. We're not so concerned about if you put the cholent pot down. You can still put it back on because we're not so worried about the Odi Yadad Lahachzir since it was on the fire when Shabbos started. So that's a technicality, a technical cooler that the Ramah is willing to fall back on a little bit. But we're back to the Shulchan Aruch. We're trying to limp shot the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch he heard of this Ram, but he doesn't pass like this Ram. The Shulchan Aruch says that the Tanoim, those additional conditions of Odi Biyado and Daik L'Hachzer are always, or at least Odi Biyado is always necessary, according to the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch is describing how to take the cholent off, stick a pan underneath, and put the cholent back on top. So all the Acharonim ask in the Shulchan Aruch, this din in Simon Reish and Gimel seems to be a contradiction to what he himself says in Simon Shin Yud Ches. In Shin Yud Ches, the Shulchan Aruch himself paskin like the Mekilim, that one is permitted to put Kedera Gabi Kedera, and once you have a Kedera Gabi Kedera, you're not putting food directly onto the fire, but rather you're putting it onto a pan or onto a pot on the fire, so then everything falls by the wayside, everything's mutter. There's no Mechzik Mevashel, there's no Shemichat B'Gicholim. The whole prohibition of Achzara is gone. Whenever you have a kedera, gabi kedera. So we asked the Acharonim, if the yisur of hachzor is gone when you have a kedera, gabi kedera, you could forget about all the other dait lahachzor conditions. So why in the 17th in Rambam Kamas, why in Simon Reish and Gimel, does the Shulchan Aruch start screaming, v'yizor shlo yosm kedera asai, make sure not to put the pot down, because if you put it down the floor, you won't be able to put it back on again. Why not? I'm not putting it directly onto the fire. I'm putting it on a kedera yishana reikonis. Because that was the whole point of what I'm doing. I'm trying to put a kedera there. I'm trying to put a hefsek kedera there in order to prevent the cholent from getting too hot. So just as in Shin Yud Ches, in the 16th of the Mamar Kamos, the Shulchan Aruch paskin v'risha near Ikar, that kedera gabi kedera is mutter, why in the 17th of the Mamar Kamos, in 60 simanim early in Reish and Gimel, somehow kedera gabi kedera somehow doesn't seem to solve the problem. So what's going on in the Shulchan Aruch? It's a pell on the Shulchan Aruch. So we are not the first ones to ask this question. Already all the Acharonim are bothered with this kasha. So if you take a look at the 18th of the Mamar Kamos, so the 18th of the Mamar Kamos, the Bir Aloch and Simon Reish and Gimel raises this question, and he says, at the end, it's five lines from the bottom, Achagach matzasi, towards the end of the line, Achagach matzasi b'primogodim, sheyishavzu hakusha b'tuv ta'am. He says that primogodim has, what the Mishnah Berurah is writing, is the correct answer to this question. How come in one place the Shulchan Aruch is meikil, that keder gabekder is good, at another place he seems to ignore it? So he says as follows, Hudu b'sif hei, she'ayri b'yomedes agabekder is chamin, o tavshil, lo nechshav klal k'omen agabekira. Ulahachi mutter aflitan lechatchila b'shabes. Masha'ein kein binyaneinu. Shakadera reikonis. V'yomedis rak listom es chom hakira. Shlo yiya kolkach chom. Nases hakira ideze rak ashakir guf haktuma. To also litan lechatchila b'shabes tafshil lechatchila. So comes the Be'alach and quotes the people. God, the answer is very simple. That in one case, there is food or drink or liquid in the bottom pot. In another place, the bottom pot is empty. That's the entire difference. Says the Prima Gadim, says the Mishnah Berurah, says the Be'er Halacha, that when the bottom pot has food in it, there's chamin in it, there's cholent in it, there's tafshel in it, there's other food that's sitting in the bottom pot. So then if I want to take some other food, cold food, and put it on top of that, that's mutter. Once there's a hefsek of a kedera, sheyesh ba'ochel, that's called kedera gabi kedera. When the bottom pot is just an empty pan, like the Shulchan Aruch was talking about in Reish and Gimel, a guy wants to take a kedera reikonis and just put an empty pan, put an empty pot, take a pot, turn it upside down, and put some kugel and chicken on top of it, that's not going to work, says the Be'er Halacha. That's not called a kedera gabi kedera. That's just one big kedera. That's just an extension of what's on the fire. So comes the Prima Gadim in the Mishnah Berurah and says, the answer to the apparent theory is there food in the bottom pot, or is there not food in the bottom pot? Kedera Reikonis is also, Kedera Malaya, Kedera full of food, is going to be permissible. How do we understand this difference? What's the concept? I mean, I see that in one case there's food, one case it's empty. Why conceptually should there be a difference?
Where did he get the pot with the food that he's putting it under?
It's been there the whole time. It's been there from before Shabbos. It's been there from before Shabbos. No, he didn't put it there. To put it there would be a problem. It means he's got shulchan sitting there from Friday night, and now he wants to put a piece of potato kugel and stick it on top of the pot of shulchan. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says is mutter. But to have an empty plate, an empty pan, an empty pot of something, and put food on top, that's going to be also. What's the difference? What's the svar l'chalik between the two? So there seem to be two different ways of formulating what precisely the difference is. We're going to accept this distinction, but trying to formulate exactly what the difference is, and that formulation may make all the difference in the world. So if you take a look at the way the Be'er Halacha, if we go back to the Be'er Halacha for a minute, how the Be'er Halacha formulated it, why is it that Kedera Reikonis is Asur? So the Be'er Halacha, back to the bottom, the third line from the bottom, Masha'enke min yaneinu, Shekedera Reikonis, in the case of the Shulchan Aruch and Reish and Gimel Asur, when the Kedera is Reikonis, the pot, the pan is empty, V'yomedes rak listob es chomakira. Why are you putting that pan there in the first place? What's the goal of putting the pan there? The goal of putting the pan there is just to cool things down a little bit. That's the whole thing. That's the whole reason why you're putting it there. You're not putting it there because you want to do something bizarre. Your goal is not to make a hecker. Your goal is not to say, oh, it's Shabbos, and therefore I'm not doing what I would normally do. You have one goal. The goal is to cool down this stove a little bit. Masha'ein Kein, in the case that we were talking about in Shin Yud Ches, the guy has a big pot of cholent on the fire, and he wants to take a piece of kugel and heat up this piece of kugel. So he has two ways of doing it. Either he can put it directly onto the fire, or he can put it on top of the cholent pot, which is on the fire. So on a regular Tuesday, if he wanted to heat up this kugel, he would put it onto the fire. We're sure going to put food on top of a pot, so it should fall down. So obviously, he put it directly onto the fire. So from the fact that Shabbos morning comes, and he's bending over backwards to put it in a place that he would normally not do it, that's shalei kederach bishul. That's going to prevent him from being shem yichat v'gicholim. So when you have food in the bottom pot, that's usually indicative of the fact that it's being done in a somewhat bizarre manner. When you have a keder reikonis, so the keder reikonis is not being done strange. The keder reikonis is being done for a different reason. The reason why he has a keder reikonis is he's doing a dafka for a very, very good reason, but it's not providing the proper heker. So the way the Mishnah Berurah formulates the difference between food in the bottom versus not food in the bottom, it sounds like It's not even so much food versus not food. What really matters is what the person's intention is. Why is he doing this? Is he doing something b'Torah strange or not? If he's doing something bizarre, something that he would never think of doing on a Tuesday, and he's going ahead and doing it in such a way on Shabbos, that creates the sufficient heker, that undermines the mechzik of avashel, and that's the source of the heter. But Kedir Rekonis, you usually don't have that. But according to the Mishnah Berurah, he's opening up a Pesach for us. What would the din be, according to the Mishnah Berurah, according to the Prima Gadim, if it's technically a Kedir Rekonis? And it really is a Kedir Rekonis. It really is an empty pan. It really is an empty pot. But there's only one reason and one reason in the world but this guy is doing it. He is not doing it to cool down on fires. He's doing it because it's Shabbos, he doesn't want to do Achzara. That's the whole goal of what he's doing. So maybe one can argue, even though it's technically Kedir Rekonis, maybe it's halachically a Kedir Maleah. Maybe it has the status of having food, even though there's really no food in it. That would be a gevaldik akula. So this is not my suggestion. So Shlomo Zalman has the suggestion. Shmuel Shabbos quotes this possibility from Shlomo Zalman, that even according to the Mishnah Berurah, who says it's got to be a kedeira malei, it's got to be food, it's got to be food, it's got to be food. Without food, it's also nothing to talk about. So comes the Shmuel Shabbos and says, maybe that insistence on food in the bottom pot is not an absolute. Maybe the insistence on food in the bottom pot is only true in contrast to the case where you put the empty pot just to keep the fire down a little bit. But if the reason why you put an empty pot there was for one reason alone, because it's Shabbos and you want to permit Achzara, so maybe that'll work even according to the Mishnah Berurah. So Shlomo Zalman is a Gevaldik Kula, it's a potential Kula, even within this Mishnah Berurah who's distinguishing between Kedir Maleah and Kedir Rekonis, maybe one could argue a Kula B'zman is there. This would be a Gevaldik Kula, because it's this idea that could be the beginning of the, what we call the Kula, the inverted pans, you know, the upside down, you know, the cookie sheets or something. A person wants to do Achzara Shabbos, so to do Achzara Shabbos, Gaval, assuming Bishul's been solved, it's only a solid food, there's no Bishul issue. Maybe he can, in effect, do a Kedera Agave Kedera. He'll take a cookie sheet and stick the cookie sheet on upside down, put it on top of the fire, and put his kugel on top of the cookie sheet, and show him Yisrael. What do you mean, show myself? Mishnah Berurah just said that's also. Mishnah Berurah just said Kedera Kedera is also. No, Kedir Rekonis is only Yasser when the goal of Kedir Rekonis was to lower the flame. When the goal of Kedir Rekonis is, because the rabbi told me this is the only way I can do Achzara, so I'm doing it b'Torah's Heker and Shabbos, maybe that in and of itself becomes Mutar. So that would be an interesting Kula. There are those who said no. There are those who took the Mishnah Berurah at face value and said, Mishnah Berurah says, Prima Gadim says, Shteit B'Feirish, it has to be a Kedir Maleah. There has to be food on the bottom, nothing to negotiate. You cannot discuss. If there's no food on the bottom, there's nothing to talk about. So you, if you have a children pot and you want to take a piece of kugel or a piece of chicken and stick that piece of kugel or chicken on top of the children pot on Shabbos morning, that we can permit. That the Shulchan Aruch would permit. But you want to take it and put it on a cookie sheet, there's nothing to discuss. So the question is, assuming you take this kula too, assuming you're willing to go l'hapal l'shaila, that maybe not only is a kedera malaya okay, maybe even a kedera kanas under certain circumstances is going to be okay, how far are we going to go with this kula? So Rabbi Vadi Yosef has in his famous shuvas, he writes the following cheshbon. He says, you know, we have 2 days in Shulchan Aruch about is kedera gabe kedera permissible. Rabbi Vadi says, we don't follow this Prima Gadim. That's not surprising. It's fine. They don't follow this Prima Gadim. They don't follow this Mishnah Berurah. Rabbi Vadi Yosef is working with the assumption that according to the Mekilim by Kedera Gabi Kedera, it's Taka Mutter. Kedera Gabi Kedera is Mutter all the time. Whether there's food in the bottom, no food in the bottom, you don't even need Rav Shlomo Zalman's Chiddush. Rabbi Vadi Yosef is working with the assumption Kedera Gabi Kedera is Mutter. Even a Kedera Rekhanis. So then he goes one step further and he says, well, what's called the Kedera Agave Kedera? Give me a case of Kedera Agave Kedera. So imagine I have a big pot and I take an empty pot and turn it upside down and put it on top of the fire. And I want to put my kugel on top of that. That's for sure okay, says Rabbi Vadia. We paskin that Kedera Agave Kedera is mutter, and we don't accept this Mishnah Berurah. We paskin that even Kedera Rekonis is mutter. So to take a big pot and put it upside down and put a kugel on it, that's okay. Then Rav Vadi goes one step further. Rav Vadi says, and what if it's not such a thick pot, such as a tall pot? Well, it's a little bit of a thinner pot. It's a, for argument's sake, an upside down frying pan. So there's a shear, how thick the pot has to be. That's also called Kedera Gabi Kedera. So not only is a big upside down soup pot okay, even a somewhat thinner frying pan upside down is also okay. So Shabbos morning, you take your frying pan, put it on top of the fire, and you put your piece of kugel on it, and everything is mutter. Says Rav Vadi a little bit further. What if it's not even as thick as a frying pan? What if it's a cookie sheet?
So cookie sheet is also, it's a pan, by nafkamina. Pot, pan, thick pan, little pan, what's the difference? So it's all the same thing. The idea is that it's a hefsek kedera. So he says it's also mutter. So we went from the upside down soup pot being mutter, the upside down frying pan being mutter, the upside down cookie sheet being mutter. Let's go one step further. What if it's a blech? So says Rabbi Badger, what's the difference? What's the difference between a big pot, a little pot, a little pot, a little pot, and a sheet of metal? What we call a blech. And if he called it a blech, we call it a blech. So says Rabbi Badger, that's also good. Guess what? Says Rabbi Badger, that's a hefse kedera. That's a kedera, gabi kedera. So when you want to take a pot of food, you want to take a pot of chicken, dry chicken, cold chicken out of the fridge, it's been out the entire night. It's been in the fridge the entire night. You want to take that chicken and put it onto a blech. Says Rabbi Badi Yosef, that's not called Achzara. That's called, the Shulchan Aruch says, Rishon Nir Iker. That's called Kedera Gabi Kedera. What's the difference? What's the difference between the big pot, the little pan, the little pan, the little pan, the cookie sheet, and the blech? It's all the same thing. And therefore, Rabbi Paskin, that it's mutter to take solid, dry food and put it directly onto the blech on Shabbos, not based on what we spoke about yesterday with the Ran, with the Rishalmi, the Vajidin wasn't going to understand. The Svad never heard of that. He says he heard of it, but he didn't pass like it. Says Rabbi Vajidin, the reason why it's mutter to put food directly on the blech on Shabbos, it's mutter lechatchila, because that's called kedera gabi kedera. Now, we have a lot of reservations about that because we were going with the mindset of the Mishnah Berurah. We thought that Kedera Gavkedera is not so posh, it's only with Kedera Malaya, not Kedera Rekonis. We're very, very weary about this. But according to this Svar of Rabbi Avadi Yosef, the blech is not all that different than the upside down empty pot. So the emphasis is that the Rav thought the exact same way, that those two things are the same, that the blech is the exact same as an upside down pan. He says, what's the difference? Big, little, huh? But the Rav came to the exact opposite conclusion of Rabbi Avadia. Rabbi Avadia said, just as the upside down soup pot is mutter, so too the blech is mutter. The Rav said the opposite. He says, just as we all know the blech is osur, you can't put food in the blech and Shabbos. Are you kidding? Unless the Ran, the Yerushalmi, yesterday, the whole Shtikl Torah. But to take food that wasn't on the fire, let's say, from before Shabbos, you want to stop put food onto the blech and Shabbos. So says the Rav, of course you can't do that. Whoever heard of that? You can't put food in the blech. So says the Rav, just as the blech is osur, so too the cookie sheets osur, so too the frying pans osur, so too the upside down soup pot is. The way that, again, I didn't hear this from the Rav, I wasn't the Rav Shia, but the way the Rav supposedly said, an upside down soup pot, that's a crooked blech, he said. He said, that's a blech, it's a difference. So it's interesting, Rav Avadia and the Rav, we're looking at blechs and soup pots the exact same way. Doesn't matter where you're coming from the Sfadim to the briskas. They said they're the exact same thing. The only thing is, are they the exact same thing in which direction? According to Rav Avadia, they're the exact same thing. Everything's mutter. According to the Rav, they're the exact same thing, and everything's aser. But don't feel too bad because the Rav, who asered the blechs, who said blechs are not considered to be a kedera, agabi kedera, he was the one who was mekel on the Ran and the Rishami from yesterday. Rabbi Avadia, who followed the Shulchan Aruch, would never have dreamt of being mekel with the Ran and the Rishami. Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it. He was the one who turned around and was mata the blech. So it turns out, according to both possibilities, both the Rav and Rabbi Avadia, for totally, completely different reasons, you can sanction putting food, taking food out of the fridge, if it was on the fire before Shabbos, you can sanction taking food out of the fridge and putting it back on the blech. According to the Rav, it's mutter based on the Ran and the Rishalmi. According to Rabbi Avadia, it's mutter because it's kedera gab kedera. The only problem is that we're not so sure that we should follow either of these, because both of them are tremendous chiddushim. The Rav's chiddush with the Gra, with the Ran, with the Rishalmi, we said yesterday that was a tremendous chiddush. Rabbi Avadia is also a tremendous chiddush against the Prima Gadim, against the Bialoch, against conventional Ashkenazi psak. So that's why there are many, many poskim who are very weary about both of these. There are many poskim who say, we follow the regular Mahalach, the regular Ber Halacha, the Prima Gadim, that this is not really Kedera Gabi Kedera, the whole Ran Rishami is a Das Yochid. We follow conventional. Conventional wisdom dictates that neither of those two approaches is acceptable. Again, we're here to present all the different possibilities. So there are those who follow the Rav's tradition with the Rabbah, with the Ran, with the Rishami. So Yesh Amil Esmech. There are those who follow the Rav's Yisrael, the Sfarim, all follow the Rav Yosef. They put food directly onto the Blech on Shabbos, as long as it's dry. Het Nagoma, Ein Potzapel Mitzavtev, because they're assuming that's called a Kedera Gabi Kedera. And everybody else who's kind of left in the middle, get those who have those practices, those traditions, Yesh Amil Esmech. Those who don't have, Lefini is 90. It sounds like the more conventional approach is following this Mishnebura. We assume that this is not really Kedera Gaber Kedera, and this is not really, we don't really try not to rely on that round if we don't have to.
We're going to talk about the Yosef. Does the food have to have been on the fire?
No. I think the fire.
But according to this, then, an inverted tin on a hot plate should be okay.
Oh, we didn't even get to the hot plates yet. Oh, so we didn't even touch the hot plates yet. So hopefully, Mitzvah Shem. Okay, so we're going to say, okay, so Mitzvah Shem on Friday, we'll try to make, remember, see him on the Sasugya in terms of the hot plates and the warming drawers. We'll see what else we can throw it for good luck in terms of the end of the Sasugya Mitzvah on Friday.
How do you deal with